So all the Josephs, this is not your morning. I'm speaking to the Jacobs. What do you mean, Jacob? Well, those who says, Lord, I'm not leaving you, not until you've blessed me, not until you've turned my life upside down, not until you've healed me, amen, not until you have manifested yourself to me. So before we're going to get to the service, I want you to add where my wife left off. You are safe from this Sunday. From now on, there will be 24-hour security every day, 7 days a week, every day. There's security in the building at the very moment. You don't know them. We do. Okay, so they're checking you, and I'm checking you too. All right. Unfortunately, let me just say this. The times we're living in, the nation we're living in, it's all around. Every single church out there needs to raise their standard on security. So our standard has been raised. I just want to say this. The doors are locked. So before anybody leaves, we'll make sure that everybody's got their belongings. If not, there's a panic button. They press the panic button. The police is here. The security guards right now at the gate. It's armed security guards. So it's not somebody with a torch and a little. You know, in Rodney Howard's Brown's church, really, it's not the joke. Outside, it's got a big board. He says, the board says, if you come here to steal or to kill, we are armed and dangerous. The ushers, everybody's got a gun. It's not just here in South Africa. It's everywhere. Because Satan knows his time is short. Amen? Amen? Is somebody listening to me today? So like we've said, from Sunday coming, there's already cameras around the place. We're going to add more, even for the children's church. So moms, that your children are fine. But if you feel like you have to watch them, in the foyer there will be a big screen, and you can make sure they are safe. Aren't you happy about that? Amen. But today, this is where I'm going to preach on today. You'll understand a lot of things. Many people think, and I want to ask everybody's eyes to be on me, every ear to hear me. Many people think that when you go through bad stages in life, when you go through some stuff in your life, most people think it's because I'm doing something wrong. I've heard many people say, well, I've been praying for so long, I've been tithing. And you know, it's just, where's God in all of this? Many people think this. Come on, just be honest. Come on, Jacob, I want you to be honest. Where's God in all of this? Why does God allow these things? And many people try to look at the problem. Maybe I'm falling short of His glory. Maybe I don't pray enough. Maybe this, maybe that. But I want to just quickly draw your attention on something. The Bible says Noah was a just man. Please say with me, Noah was a just man. Come on, somebody help me. Noah was a just man. There was no man on earth at that stage that was as just as Noah. But the scripture says it was still raining. There was still a storm. Not just because that Noah was righteous didn't mean that Noah was secluded from the flood. Okay, I want to speak to this side. Maybe you hear me. He had to go through the flood. He was righteous. He was just. But where's God in all of this? Well, God was the one who sealed the ark. God was the one inside the ark. Many people say that the ark didn't go down because of the way that Noah created and built it. No, the ark didn't go down because of God's hand. God's seal was upon that. Now, this is what I want to tell you this morning. The reason why Satan is fighting the way he's fighting is because you have been marked for greatness. I need Faith City people in this place this morning. You are marked. The hand of God. The blueprint of God is on your life. And for that mere reason, this is why the Bible says many are the affliction of the righteous, but out of everyone, God saves them. What does this mean? It says, if you are a righteous man, your afflictions will be many. Your afflictions will not be like the afflictions of the world. Why not? Because Satan already has this world, but he does not have you. And the reason why he attacks, Satan understands the minute you lose focus, you lose the anointing. We are so focused on who's backbiting, backstabbing, and leaving our lives that we forget that there's an army that loves you. And come on, somebody. There's a family that adores you. So what Satan does is Satan makes us lose focus on what is. And when the minute we start to lose focus, this is why Satan brings his mongrels to steal. Because now you have to put your focus on building walls and adding security, and there's no time for anything else. Because the only thing that you have to do is secure, secure, secure. And I've got one thing to say this morning. I've got one thing to say this morning, and maybe this message will not be for everyone. It will be for somebody that has gotten to a place that you believe the word of God only. I tell you this morning, whatever Satan stole from you, the Bible says, if Satan is caught out, he must repay sevenfold. I'm here to tell you this morning, whatever your joy, your finances, your marriage, your family, I declare war on Satan and everything that comes against you. I declare sevenfold is coming back in Jesus' name. If you believe it, I want you to give Jesus 10 seconds of crazy praise in this place. In the name of Jesus, it's coming back. Now that I have your attention, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side. We are hard pressed on every side. I'm going to try that again. We are hard pressed on every side. Who has been hard pressed on every side? From everywhere you have been pressed. Lift your hand. You're in church. You can't lie. If you have been pressed. Okay, now come about it. No, wait. If you have been hard pressed on every side, you have been hard pressed, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Hallelujah. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body of dying, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. So before I'm going to get to the main message, I want to tell you that if you have been hard pressed on every side, you are in good company. The reason why you're hard pressed is not because that you're a bad man or a bad woman. The reason why you're hard pressed is because you have become a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Satan hates everything about you. The reason why Satan steals and kills and destroys is because that's the way that he thinks that he can win Jesus. The only way Satan can get back at Jesus is by killing his people and by attacking his people. All right, I'm in the wrong church this morning. You are not attacked because you're in the wrong place at the right. No, you're attacked because you are marked for greatness. I said you are marked with the mark of God. If you have not been persecuted and feel like you've been pressured from every side, then Satan is happy with you. The minute there's a rumbling going on around you, you know that you have made an impact so hard that Satan's mission is just to kill and destroy you. I want to say something that many people are going to look at me funny now. The more God uses you, when God starts to use you, God starts to bruise you. Whew. Don't get religious on me now. If God starts to use you, God starts to bruise you. I'm going to give you a scripture. I want to ask, let's open up our Bibles to the book of Job. The book of Job is a little bit of a long verse that I'm going to read, but I have to get you where I am at the moment. All right, so let's just go to Job chapter 1. If you have pen and paper, make sure you take your notes. Do we have Job on the screen? No? Okay, it's not working. All right, that's the end of the service. We appreciate that you've come. See you next week Sunday. No, thank God, we've got the Bible. We've got the living word. We've got living proof. I said we've got the living word. Amen? Living proof. I've got my sword always. My sword doesn't always look as nice as it should. But let me just tell you something. A person's Bible who falls apart, his life is not falling apart. All right? Hallelujah. They want to buy me a new one. I said, Mooney. Okay. My job sit up by revelation, but that's fine. All right, let's go. There was a man, this is Job chapter 1 verse 1, please read this with me. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless. I like that. That man was blameless. He was not a sinner. Did you take note what the Bible says? He was blameless. Maybe not in the eyes of man. He was blameless in the eyes of God. He was upright. There was no man like Job, and one who feared God and shunned evil. Shunned evil means he hated evil. He hated sin. He hated anything that had hated God. and he hated everything that God hates. You see, this is the thing, saints of God. When you start to serve the Lord, you have a covenant relationship. Covenant relationship means that whatever hurts you, hurts me. This is why God says, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. Why do God say that? Because God is a covenant God. He says, if they touch you, they touch me. That's covenant. This is why Job hated evil, because he knew God hated evil. If you're in this place, I want you to shout hallelujah. So the scripture goes on. It says that he had 10 children. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And eventually in verse 6, the Bible says, now there was a day when the sons of God, the angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and he said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, this is powerful, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and hates evil. Hang on now. Here's God saying, have you noticed what I have? Have you noticed I have a man after my own heart who absolutely hates everything that is evil? He loves me so much. He's so upright. Have you considered him? Have you considered him and her? 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 Have you considered him? This is what God is saying. You'll get there now. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered him? There is none like him, blameless, upright, fears God. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Here's Satan saying to the Lord, he says, the only reason why this man is fearing you is because there's a hedge of protection around him, around his children, around his cattle, around all his possessions. There's a hedge around. I've tried to attack him multiple times, but I cannot go through the hedge. There's a hedge of protection around his car. There's a hedge of protection around his family. I wanted to kill his children long before, but there's something killing my dream. And that's your hedge. It's a hedge of protection. He says, the only reason why Job fears you is because you keep his pockets full. Just free of charge. Just the cattle. Just the cattle. I'm not speaking to you about the land that he owned. If you have to add the land, you can actually twice, you can double it on what I'm going to tell you now. This is just speaking about his possessions on earth. If I say to you what Job had back then, if I put it in figures today, just on his cattle, $56 million. That's a half billion, more than half a billion South African rand, more than half. You can say 700, 800 million rand. That's just in cattle. That's without his land. Add that, you can say he was a billionaire. Job was a billionaire. He was filthy rich. Satan says, this is the key why he fears you. This is the reason why he comes to church every Sunday, lifts up his hands, because he knows there's a hedge. He knows that you're the one who's blessing him. So he needs to fear you. And let me just quickly share this. May I? Are you ready for this? When Satan attacks you, he attacks your character. Because in the attack, it's what your character says of you that is what's going to stand for you. If you see people being attacked, going through some stuff, you'll see their real character coming to the forefront. Some people want the breakthrough, but they don't want the one that gives breakthrough. They want the miracle, they don't want the miracle worker. Oh, dit werk vir my, ek was nou in 'n kerk en nou het hulle vir my gevat en nee, ek gaan nie weer terug kerk toe nie. Your eyes are on the church and not on Jesus. Amen, I'm not speaking to the right crowd in this place. So Satan was attacking Job's character. I'm getting somewhere, right? I'm getting somewhere. You're going to hear me now. You'll understand why things are happening, why things are coming. and it's not supposed to come, but it's coming. It's not coming because you're unjust and because God doesn't love you. It's coming exactly for the simple fact that God says, look at him, look at him. This is my beloved. Woo! Pure, holy, upright. There's no one like her. Have you considered her? Have you considered him? Oh Lord, the only reason why they serve you is because of what's going on. He's just attacking your character. Satan is attacking your character. Is somebody listening to me? Satan is attacking your character. Please say this. Satan attacks my character. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has. This is what God said to Satan. And he will surely... Oh no, Satan is saying this to the Lord. Sorry. And he will surely curse you to your face. Take away his car, take away his marriage, take away his business, take away everything. Let me destroy everything. And you'll see this man will turn around and he will reveal his true nature to you. He will curse you to your face. And unfortunately, we're living in a season where everything is happening that way. When people, just the opposite actually, when people's got nothing, they run to the Lord. When they have everything, God's not needed. When they lose everything, the churches are packed. And then there's breakthrough prayers, and there's a fast for a week. And when God gives back everything, you don't see them back in church. People run to the Lord when they need healing. When they are healed, you never see them back. This is what's happening in the body of Christ. We don't serve God for what he can give me. We serve him because we cannot live without him. He's the Alpha and the Omega, and he's the beginning and he's the end. Come on, he's El Shaddai, the Rock of Ages. And he's the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. I want you to shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of God. So the Lord said, do whatever you want to do, but you're not allowed to kill him. Not allowed to kill him. Listen to this. The Bible says, now here's the, well, I'm speaking to Jacob. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house, and a messenger came to Job. Just by the way, just pause. Thank you, Holy Ghost. If you go back scriptures, you'll see that his sons and daughters like to party. We like to party. Why do you say that? This is because Job, the scripture says, made continuously sacrifice unto God because of his children's sin. Later in scripture, you'll read that the Bible says that God gave them over to their sin. All right. That's for next Sunday, maybe. And the scripture says, and then a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were feeding beside them. And then suddenly they were all killed. Now imagine here, Job is upright, pleasing God, filthy rich. He's got everything. And here comes a servant and he says, listen, I've got bad news. All your donkeys are done. They are killed. And while they were still speaking, the scripture says, while they were still speaking, this is what the Bible says. Another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants, and it consumed them, and I alone has escaped to come to you. If it was not enough, it was not just the car that broke down, it was also the house that was broken into. I'm speaking to the real people. Kom meneer, haal die masker af nou, jy kan nie lieg in die kerk nie. It's a cycle. He was just standing and he heard bad report. His donkeys are gone. And secondly, there's another servant said, hey, it's not where it ends. Listen, there's destruction. Fire came down from heaven. Your servants are killed. And you know what? The sheep are destroyed. And it goes on. Verse 17, while he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, took them away. Yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have come to tell you. Donkeys are dead, the sheep are destroyed, the camels are stolen. I'm talking to you about $56 million being stolen in an instance. Not over time, in an instance. Everything that Job 40 has, every inch of security was taken away from him. The scripture goes on. It doesn't stop there. Another man rushed in. He says, hang on, I just want to tell you, it's not just your sheep. It's not just the camels and the donkeys. But your children were already partying again. And suddenly there was a wind that came out and destructed the whole house that they were sitting in. And everything caved in on them. I was the only one that came out. But your children, 10 of them, are dead. And I want to speak to the real people. This Bible... it's not fiction. It's not a storybook. This is the word of the living God. It happened to Job. I said it happened to Job. They stole his sheep, or the sheep, the camels that are dead, the donkeys are dead, the servants are killed, 10 of his children are done. And do you know what the Bible says Job did? The first thing that Job did is he was shaving his head. He was tearing his outer garment apart, and he fell flat on his face, and he worshiped God. You better hear me right now. When he shaved his head, shaving of your head was mourning. His heart was crushed on the inside of him. He took the garment and he tore it apart. That means there was brokenness in him. I want to ask you a question. If 10 of your children dies instantaneously and $56 million, your livelihood is gone. Your whole field, every part of your land has been burned because God allowed a fire to come out of heaven. What will you do? Most people will start to curse God and die. But this man, out of mourning, out of brokenness, shaved his hair and tore his clothes apart and he fell on his face. He reverted back to the very thing that brought him to the blessing at first. I want to scream. I want to jump on a mountaintop and shout. Because you know what people think? Many people say, oh, you see, God blesses that guy, and I'm not blessed. Well, here's the key, brother. Here's the key, sister. God says, I will bless those who diligently seek me. Bless what? He blesses you with finances. He blesses you with a long life. He blesses you with health. If I do what? If I seek him. How do I seek him? In spirit and in truth. Praising, worshiping, praying continuously. Have you noticed when he lost everything, the first thing that he was doing? He reverted back to what he knew. He fell on his face and he cried out to the living God. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we retaliate when Satan attacks. This is how you retaliate when people leave your life. This is how you retaliate when Satan steals. We don't throw a tantrum. We don't run to the phone. We run to the throne. We run to the throne. Come on, we fall on our knees and we cry out. We cry out to the King of Kings. And you know what? Satan went back. He said, the Lord said, did you see? I told you. He said, no, Lord, put your hand on him. Allow me to strike him with sickness. You'll see. You'll see. He'll curse you to your face. God said, it's done, but you're not allowed to kill him. Boils struck him. The scripture says that he was sitting on an ash heap, scratching his sores and his scars. And the scripture is so clear. I want you to hear me right now. Is somebody enjoying this? The scripture is clear. When news spread about the condition of Job, the businessman in the area, the filthy rich man, the upright one, most people, when it's bad, will ask you the question, where's your God? If you're the man of God, why did it happen? It's because you're the man of God. It's because you belong to him that it happened. Because let me just quickly share this before I'm going to continue. Jesus spoke to Peter. He said, Peter, Satan asked for you. I like that. Satan asked for you. Why does Satan ask for any man? Now, what I'm going to say now, nou gaan die mense my, hulle gaan my nou nie like. Thank God I'm in Faith City. Okay. Before Satan plots against you, he must get permission from the Most High God. Satan cannot attack without God saying, go forth, but I've got a plan, a purpose,
I want you to jump
destiny.
To your feet.
I say, this man is preaching to me this morning. Come on. Okay, you may take your seat. Just hear this. So the scripture says that boils struck. And he was scratching himself. And he was in despair. And the news was spreading. But I love the... Just keep in mind, the news was spreading. I love the fact where the Lord said to Peter, Satan asked for you. Do you know why Satan asked for you? It's because what you carry. Unfortunately, what Jesus replied to Peter shook me a bit. He said, Satan asked for you to sift you as a wheat. Okay. Forget them, okay? Just look at me quickly. Just checking there. I don't trust these men. In any case, so the scripture says Satan asked to sift you as a wheat. Do you know wheat in itself carries no weight? So Satan saw a man that got something going on for him, but he's found no substance in him. This is why the Bible says, Jesus said to him, when you return to me, when you go through your situation, when you go through your lowest of lowest, when you go through your heartbrokenness, and you return to me, strengthen your brethren. What does it mean? He says, strengthen your brethren. In other words, when you come back to me, when you serve me wholeheartedly, after you've been going through your process, come tell your brothers it's not over until God says it's over. When you come back, you strengthen your brethren and you tell them that the same God that allowed Satan to touch your life is the same God who has pulled you out of the lion's den. It's the same God who has hit the mouth of the lion. Hallelujah. It's the same God that brought down that mountain and brought down those walls and removing the mountains and opening up the Red Sea. When you strengthen your brethren, is somebody listening to me? If Satan asks for you, make sure you have substance. Substance. Because Satan does not count people. Satan weighs people. He wants to know. This is why it's not just okay. It's not just okay to know the scripture. But you have to understand to know the author. Last night I said something. I said there was a church with an old man that the pastor asked this old man to read Psalm chapter 23. And this old man had a powerful voice. They've used his voice, and this is a real story. They used his voice for some movie stuff, and he's got a Lion King voice, you know, that Mufasa voice. He's got a voice. So he opened up the Bible and he started reading. The Lord is my shepherd. They said the minute he roared, "The Lord is my shepherd," people jumped to their feet and they were clapping. And they were shouting, and he was reading through the whole psalm, and there was a yodel, and there was a jump, and there was joy, and everybody thought, wow, this man has a voice. And the pastor turned to a young man, he said, come here, brother, I want you to read Psalm chapter 23. And this young man opened up Psalm 23, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. He says, as he said, Lord is my shepherd, an old woman, tears came. He said, I shall not want. He lead me beside. This is just a test, okay? Just testing you. So long story short, eventually the whole church were crying. The pastor stopped. He said, I want to ask a question. When this old man were reading the psalm, everybody was jumping and happy and cheerful. When you opened the psalm, you were reading it, everybody was crying. What's the difference? This young man said to the pastor, he says, this old man knows the psalm. I know the shepherd. The scripture says, demons believe and they tremble. It's not good enough just to quote scripture. But to be found with substance. This is why I always tell people, if you are sick in your body, and in the week, you're not at church, maybe you're in the week, and Satan brings a side effect, and you feel pain. You don't tell Satan what you feel. You tell Satan what you believe. It is written. It is written. This body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. That's how you fight your battles. You build yourself up with the substance of God's word. Okay, so now the Bible says Job is sitting on an ash heap and scratching himself. And the word goes out that there's famine in the land. And they heard the awful condition of Job. The Bible says his three friends journeyed to him. Please hear me. The Bible says the friends saw him afar off and they were weeping. Jeez. His friends saw him afar off. Let me just explain this to you. They were walking to his farmland and they saw everything burned to the ground. It means it were friends that understood what he possessed. They understood his position in that area. And suddenly on the way to his town and his land, they see total and utter destruction. Before they even spoke to him, they were weeping because of his condition. The Bible says it's so clear that when they got to Job, the scripture says for 7 days they couldn't open their mouths. They couldn't open their mouths. They said nothing. They were awestruck of what Job was going through. Imagine your friends going through such a thing that you've got no words. You're just silent because of what is happening. Is somebody here? Is someone listening to me? And they didn't open the word. I'm just jumping some scriptures. Just hear this. Eventually, his wife came to him, and his wife said, "What's wrong with you? Are you still holding on to your faith in the Lord?" That's what his wife is saying. He says, curse God and die. And this is what people, listen, you better hear me. When Satan attacks you and he attacks your character, he will use the closest people around you to tell you how bad it is, why you will not be able to make it. His own wife turned her back on him and said, "You're useless and your God is not doing anything for you. Why do you still serve him?" Come on, where's the Jacobs, the real people in this place? And says, "I know about those friends." In Afrikaans, ons noem hulle mooi weersvriende. When everything is good, they're your friends. When everything is bad, they are the ones who are telling you how bad it is. Come on, if you know what I'm talking about, I want you to shout hallelujah. So the scripture says for 7 days. And then eventually, his friends were murmuring and complaining. Job spoke and he said, "Lord, I don't even know why I'm born." But the Bible says, even though that he complained towards God, the scripture says he didn't sin. You were not sinning. And you know what? I like one portion of scripture. God spoke to his friends. And God said, "If it was not for your friend Job, I would have killed you. How dare you speak to me and talk about me in the manner you are doing?" Do you hear me? That's what God said. He even went back to Job. I like that scripture. When Job was complaining, he said, "Hey, hush, were you there when I formed the morning stars and all the galaxies, and the morning stars were worshiping and praising me?" He said, "Were you there when I laid the first foundation of the earth and the angels shouted for joy? Were you there?" No, you were not. So why did God say that to him? In other words, I know what I'm doing. Were you there? I want you to say, were you there? When you go through trials, ask yourself the question, were you there? I'm going to ask you that side. If you go through tremendous shaking and you don't understand why everything is going on around, you ask yourself the question, were you there? What does this mean? Zip it. I've got it covered. If you bake cookies, you bake biscuits. Okay, Tannies, help me nou uit, okay? Ek's 'n leek in hierdie goed. If you, as jy daai mengsel so vat, jy vat die meel, jy gooi die eiers en jy meng dit en jy vat 'n hapie. Ek sien nou die mense. Dis nie lekker nie. It's terrible. Amen? You can't eat it like that. It's nuts. Okay, behalwe as jy pregnant is, dan doen jy wat jy wil, maar so when you bake biscuits, you have to make sure that you put the biscuits in the oven, and eventually what's coming out of the oven is a biscuit. You put it in your mouth, that's nah. Amen. But it's a process. I want you to say process.
Process.
One more time, process.
Process.
So the scripture is so clear that I like this, and this is prophetically for any person that was to receive this. Just before I'm gonna say what I'm gonna say now. You have to hear this. I always say this, and the reason why I continue to say this is to create this culture in this church that we believe the word only. Okay? Maybe you hear me. Maybe you there. Maybe somebody in that side. We create a culture here that we believe the word only. If the word is spoken, if it's in the Bible, it means it must be this way. So the Bible says, when Job prayed for his friends. Now, when Job prayed for his friends. I'm talking to you about a man who lost everything. He lost all his children, all his possession, all his cattle, all his money. Everything was lost. And yet he's praying for his friends. The Bible says the minute he prayed for his friends, God gave him back twice. I want to prophesy this to somebody that has been through some tremendous stuff. I'm here just to say this, and even if this whole meeting is just about these words now, then let God get the honor for this. For any person that has been through hell and back, and you've served him, even in the time of famine, lost, whatever you have been through, and you still worshiped your way out of it, you better get ready, for God will give you double for your trouble. Can I say this again? God will give you double for your trouble. for your trouble. I want you to say this with me. God will give me double for my trouble. Now, I want to show you something. I brought a mirror. A spiel. Let's go, okay, can I check it? Okay. It's a mirror. If I walk without this mirror, I'm not conscious about what I wear, how my hair is combed, what my beard looks like. I've got no idea. The minute I look to myself in a mirror, this is the reflection of everything that I am. As I look into the mirror, I can see what I have on, what I need to change. Amen? This is a reflection of everything that I am. Most people, when they go through some stuff, they don't even see it. They just feel it. The first thing that happens, second, third, fourth, everything is around you. But you don't see it. The reason why you don't see it, because you look at it from another perspective. You are the one who's raging the storm. You're the one who's fighting the battles. And there's no way that you can see what's really going on all around you. It's only that when you look into the mirror and you see that you're alive. And even though I've went through it all, and I look in the mirror and I can say, I'm still here. It's only when we get quiet, when you're all alone and you reflect on some stuff, that you don't understand, why am I still alive? I should have been dead. I should have been broken, destroyed. I should have been cast out. But somewhere I've just reflected. And when whatever reflects, when you look at yourself in the mirror and then you see the reflection, you take some perspective of your life. Am I speaking to somebody? Wave at me if you're here. And you take some perspective over your life and you think to yourself, where am I at this very moment? This is only when you look into the mirror and you know what you've been going through that you can look into the mirror and say, my God. Now, I'm speaking to somebody that wants to hear me. When you're going through what you're going through, most people ask the question, where is God in all of this? Why didn't God fight the storm with me? Why didn't God, I feel so alone. I feel like an outcast, rejected, and I don't understand this, Lord. Why is everybody coming against me? David said this. David was a man of the God's own heart. He said, Lord, look at them, how they increase who's against me. Lord, they just battle against me to kill me, to destroy me. Where are you in all of this? Lord, I'm upright. Come on, I'm just, Lord. I'm giving to the church, Lord. I'm giving to your work. I love you with all of my heart. Lord, I worship you in spirit and in truth. Where are you when they killed my children? Where were you, Lord, when they took away some of my stuff? Where were you, Lord? And it's only when you get quiet and you look into the mirror and you reflect on what you've been going through. This is where you take infantry. It's only here where you can look back and say, I know exactly where God was. I am here. I'm looking back at myself for the simple fact that it doesn't matter what I've been through, He was there all the time. I don't want you to ask me the question and say, the Lord knows my heart. I want to ask you, do you know what's in your own heart? Do you know what's in your own heart? Most people, what's in their own heart will come out when they're under attack. That's when character will come. That's when you'll see who your true friends are. He says to say, well, you here, where's your Lord? Your God is gone. All things works together for those who love Him. When Satan steals from you and you're the righteous of God, everything will work for you. If Satan kills and destroys and takes all things. So I want to just quickly say this. Can I just be honest with you? I'm going to try that again. Can I be honest with you? There were moments in my life that I thought, God, are you trying to kill me? There were moments in my life that I thought I was the loneliest person alive. There were days that I was so flat that after service that people would come to me to pray for them. I was the broken one. I was so discouraged, and I saw people in front of me. When I pray for them, they walk home encouraged, and I go home discouraged. Most anointed people leave a stage and cry before God and say, what about me? What about me? They've received. What about me? Think about this. Who comforts me? Who give me word? Who preaches to me? And you know, this is why many times you have to sit in front of that mirror and reflect. What am I going through? Why is God allowing these things? Why is the attack so much on my life? The attack is simply there because you mean something in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of darkness hates everything about you. But the nice thing that I want to just say to you, that whatever Satan meant for your destruction, whatever Satan meant to kill, to hurt, to destroy you, to keep you lonely and keep you awake at night, whatever he has planned and plotted against you, God will turn it around for your good. Please hear me. What you are seeing now, the reflection of what you're seeing now, is only but for a season. It's not where God will leave you at. It's not your end zone. I said, you are not in the end zone. Your latter will be greater than your former. I said, your latter will be more blessed than your former. Your latter will be much, much, much greater than all of the former things that Satan brought against you. Hallelujah! Yeah. You might sit here in this place and say, where's the blessing I'm shouting about? Where's the blessing? Sunday after Sunday, I agree with. Please hear me. Look into this mirror and see the reflection. It's only here that you can look back and say, my God, even if I was pressed from every side, I am definitely not crushed. It's only when you reflect back that you can see in all those times that I was supposed to be dead and gone, that's where His amazing grace was stepping in and pulling me out. God's not interested in what's here unless you know what's there. And God is busy shaking hearts in this place this morning. You ask God, Lord, so where's your hand? Lord, what about me? Lord, what about me? The Bible says God works all things together. God works all things together. Can I say this again? God works. God works. God works. Right at this moment, God is working. What's on His schedule? God is working. What is He working? He's working all things together for the good of those who love Him, to those who's called according to His plans and His purposes. Even if it means that you end up on a pile of ash, He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. Your heap of ash is just a stepping stone to your double portion. If you have been going through what you've been going through and you have not cursed God, you have cried out, Lord, have mercy on me, and you're still worshiping your way out, you better get ready. There's a mighty promotion right around the corner. If you believe that, I want you to jump to your feet and say, Lord, all things work together for my good. Just take your seat for a second. I want to ask, as you take your seat, every hand lifted. Job was upright, a man after God's own heart. Just close your eyes and lift your hands. Let me just minister to your spirit, man. Satan didn't like him. Quite frankly, Satan doesn't like you either. God said that, you see, Job, the only reason, just hear this in your spirit, man, the only reason why God allows the attack is because God brings the promotion. There's no attack without a cause. The attack is always a sign that I'm about to go from glory to glory. And God is about to change my story. Many times when God uses you, He will bruise you. Many times when God will use you, He will bruise you. He's the one who says, that's fine, test Him, but you're not allowed to kill Him. You can take everything. Well, Lord, I cannot touch her. Lord, I cannot touch that marriage. Lord, I cannot touch that family because Your hand of protection is on them. Lord, the only reason why these 5 city people are serving You is because You keep their pockets full, Lord. You keep their children healthy. You give them more than enough. But the minute you just release Your hand from them, just lift Your hand a little bit from them, and you will see they will turn away and they will curse You to Your face. They will no longer worship You. They will no longer sing songs and hymns, and they will no longer read the Bible, Lord. They will dry up. They will curse You to their face. He's the one who says, go. Go. The first thing Satan wants to do is attack your character. That's what he's doing. He's attacking Christians' character. Because when you're under attack, that's when true character comes out. Everything that Job built up the whole of his life. The blessing of the Lord maketh a man rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Every blessing that God has blessed him with, Satan destroyed in an instant. It's when you are down and out, we will hear the enemy say, where's your God? It's when you're down and out where your friends will turn around and say, this man is crazy. He gives his time to a church. He's nuts. Where's his God now? It's only when you get to the ash heap and even your friends don't have words for your condition. I think to myself, the only thing that kept Job going on that ash heap was his worship. I don't have money, but I can worship.
Oh, Jesus.
I might be struck down, but I'm definitely not destroyed. I might be feeling alone, perplexed. I'm not abandoned. If I look back now, he was there with me. I was supposed to be dead. I was supposed to die of hunger and starvation. But I'm still here. If I reflect back now and I take everything in perspective, it was in my most loneliest hours where He carried me, where He pulled me out. I am that I am today by the grace of the living God. He was supposed to abandon me, but He didn't. When my friends left me, come on, maybe your family members said, curse God and die. Jesus was still there. He was holding your hand. He was wiping the tears. Only when God spoke, He said, were you there? Were you there? I've got everything sorted. I have something planned for you far better than what you ever thought. Even before I created you in your mother's womb, I knew the day and hour will come where Satan will try to sift you as a wheat. But I'm praying for you that your faith will not fail. And when you get out of this, that you'll be mighty. You'll be strong in the Lord. And everything that He has stolen from you, I will give you double for your trouble. I want you to lift your hands, close your eyes, and just in your spirit, look back. Reflect on that situation. Just look back. Where are you, Lord? He was right there. And He still is. He still is. He's there in my brokenness. He's there in my weakness. He's there in my loneliness. He's there when I'm deserted. He's there when I'm attacked. He's there when I'm hungry. He's there when I'm thirsty. I was supposed to be dead. But because of His mercy and His great grace, I am that I am. Since every eye is closed, every hand lifted, you better hear me. I speak to your spirit man right now. It's not how many times you are being pushed to the ground. It's how many times you get back up. Don't let the world push you down. You've got power on the inside of you. You've got an army ready, a host of angels ready to fight every battle. I declare this morning, if they touch you, you're in covenant, brother. You're in covenant, sister. I need to just release this. Somebody needs to hear me. Hold on. Hold on. Do not throw in the towel. Daybreak is here. Every time I say, they say, curse God. Just give up. Why are you still in that church? Why are you still there every Saturday, every Sunday and Saturday? You're there Friday evenings, you're there Wednesday. What's wrong with you? Can't you see God doesn't like you, doesn't love you? No, when I'm reflecting back, I understand I made it this far. The same eyes that saw you going down will see you come up again. The same mouths that try to destroy your destiny will be those who will announce your success. The same eyes that were wasting tears will be the eyes that will see the promised land. The same eyes that saw the ash heap will be the eyes that will see the breakthrough. The same eyes who have seen friends and family desert you will be the eyes that will see your enemies will come and worship at your feet and say, surely your God is alive. I've seen right through scripture. I will ask every eye closed. God is busy moving in this house. I've seen right through scripture when a situation seems dead, a situation seems impossible, that's where God shows up. And I'm just reminded about Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were tossed into a furnace of fire, bound, because they refused to bow their knees before this world. The scripture says, suddenly there's a fourth person in the appearance of the Son of God. And suddenly these three men were loosed. You see, when you go through the fire, the outcome is favor. When you go through fire, your outcome is favor. The scripture says when they were out, the power of the smoke had no power over them. The smell of smoke were not touching their clothes, were not touching their head, were not touching their skin. You might say, Vessel, I've been through hell, but I smell like heaven. I've been through hell, but I smell like heaven. I've been through hell, but I smell like heaven. Today it's not over until God says it's over. Look up, for your redemption has drawn near. Satan is not attacking you because you're in the wrong. He's attacking because you're in the right. The reason why he's attacking your family is because he knows what God's going to do through your family. The reason why he's touching your finances is because he knows your finances, what it will do for the kingdom of God. He's touching your health because he knows that you're not going to just exist, but you'll make an impact. You'll shift nations, cities, and towns. Wherever you go, atmospheres will be turned around. When you're in the ash heap of life, forget about the people around you, the naysayers, the backbiters, the backstabbers. Forget about them. And behold, double for your trouble. So I want to just say this. I'm going to finish with this. The Bible says when the enemy has been caught out, he must repay sevenfold. This means if you have a bad year, a year where people left your life, you've lost jobs, you've lost opportunities, you were alone, Satan has been caught out this morning. And I declare 7 years of restoration, 7 years of great joy, 7 years of health, 7 years of open doors, 7 years. I declare this in the name of Jesus Christ. Right now, your word is real. If it says it in your word, I believe it absolutely this morning, Lord. If I be a servant of God, let what I say happen instantly in the lives of your people who serve you in spirit and in truth. to those, Lord, who's not serving you for what they get, but they cannot live without you. I declare 7 years, and it's not where it stops. God is not a respecter of man. I said, God is not a respecter of man. He gave Job double for his trouble. So I declare 7 times 2 in the name of Jesus. I declare it will not just be 7 years. I declare that God will add double for your trouble. This is why I declare the next 14 years of your life will be a year that will be greater ease. I declare it will be a year where your faith will not fail, where doors that were shut on your life will suddenly just open up. The wrong people that left your life, God will add the right people to your life. The job opportunities that you were denied for, God will release something new, something fresh in this hour. Why? Because God works all things together. All things together for my good, for those who love Him, to those who's called according to His plans and His purposes. Nothing goes past God without Him saying that's enough. If you go through anything now, the Bible says God will never allow you to be tempted above what you can handle.
Oh, Jesus.
I see some strong people in this place.
Oh,
I see some warriors. I see some generals in the faith in this place this morning. What you've been going through is because God says you are strong enough to battle that. I need a couple of people with faith that will say, this morning I'm drawing a line and I'm taking back what is mine. I'm taking back my joy.
Yes,
I declare a double dosis of joy on your life. I declare for elke plooi wat jy gekry het van worry, daar sal 'n lagplooi bykom in Jesus naam. I declare that this is your hour. This is your morning. I just want to say, hold on. It is not over until the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords says it's over. And this morning I'm here to tell you, He said it is not over. You still have another round to fight. This round will be the round that matters the most. This round, you are going for the kill. This round, you are going for the KO. This round, you are knocking off his head. This round, you're going to fight harder. You're going to pray harder. You're going to praise harder. You're going to shout harder. You're going to jump harder.